Hi, Carrie. Welcome back. We are here to wrap up the end of our very first season.
Yeah, I know. It was so much fun. It went by really fast. And I hope people continue to listen to it because such great little tidbits and advice and stories came out of season one. So I'm really excited. I'm really proud of it.
You should be. I think we both should be. And yeah. I think there's so many big conversations we wanted to have going into this that really did organically and authentically come out of every single episode. So I'm excited to look back on some of the highlights and talk a little bit more about some of the things we explored, like, you know, mental health or sacrifices that you have to make. So let's take a listen to some of our favorite moments of the first season. And first up is Alicia Montano.
Yep.
And she talked to us about how youth sports are changing. So let's listen, and then you and I get to chat a little bit about this.
I feel like youth sports is changing. I have concerns, like, you know, and then I also have things traditionally that I really love that I want to do. And then with that, I also want to model my parenting style, which is also still allowing my kids to, you know, not do things they don't want to do. However, you got to finish what you start. So like, for instance, Aster, he does not like soccer, and he's in it, enrolled in it this year, and he made it so clear, I don't want to play soccer. He didn't say that before when we were signing. I was like, hey, we're signing everybody up now. And then, you know, when we're getting his cleats on, you can just kind of feel he's just like, I do not want to play soccer. And I'm like, oh man, hey, Aster, you know, you never know who you're going to meet on your team. We did sign up for this. We went to orientation. You know, the seasons, you're probably going to find more things you're going to have fun with than you're dreading right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was kind of like mopey. And then his little brother, Lennox, he is not actually on like a, they have practices now for this age, for the Aster's age, which is 5.5. He's going to be 6 in November. So there's one practice a week and the game on the weekend. Lennox's age just has a game on the weekend. So I was like, would you like Lennox to go with you? And I was like, oh shoot, why did I say that? What if that's not allowed?
Yep.
Yep. But they already heard it, ears perked up. And so now I'm like, oh man, Alicia, are you like going to cause another problem when you get home? Anyways, long story short is folks who were probably, you know, following me on Instagram did see, like, it made my heart so happy that the coach was like, come on in. Aww. And Lennox actually, you know, it sparked his joy for soccer. He's like, I love soccer. When is my soccer practice? So it's interesting. And it also had Aster come home and say, hey, you know, I was really excited that Lennox got to go with me. I'm like, ooh, that might not be sports the entire time, but thumbs up. We're going to make it through this season.
Yeah. Go for it.
You know, yeah. So I sign them up seasonally for different things. The way that I'm seeing youth sports is people are specializing and they kind of keep on with one thing. And they ask me, you know, oh, you know, my daughter or my son, they're a great runner and they're like 8 years old. You know, what drills and stuff should they be doing now? And I'm like, what, you know, I'm like, whoa, they should just be playing, you know, they should be, of course, fundamentals can come into play, but they're not going to be nailing any drills. Are you kidding me? They still have neurons that are, you know, trying to attach themselves to each other, you know,
so
they're not firing on all cylinders. Okay. Maybe they are. They're firing on way more cylinders than we are. So they're trying to have them all connect.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the big point. I don't want to specialize my kids. And that's, I think, where I'm seeing youth sports going. I do want them to try different things. I want them to give them the opportunity to try, like, even things that I didn't do. You know, I'm like, oh, jiu-jitsu. Okay, let me Google that.
It is so interesting that you said that. Every single Olympian that we've interviewed has always said, keep it fun, or you have to have fun. And I mean, that's how I was too, but it really is like a common thread. You have to keep it fun.
Okay, Carrie, I could talk for a whole podcast about what Alicia just shared with us about the current state of youth sports and straddling that line between pushing your kids to try something new or commit to a sport that maybe they have decided they don't really want to do, and also giving them the space and flexibility to be a kid and explore. So tell me a little bit about how you as a parent are approaching youth sports these days in a world when everybody needs to specialize and you're playing the same sport year round and really pushed to spend all of your time and money on one specific activity.
Well,
So Ruby is really in now junior high sports. So I'm kind of getting that a little bit more. Our boys are still in all these different youth sports. Like they have opportunity still to really mix it up. And I'm thankful that they like to. But Ruby now is starting to think that she's had a little success in running. And so she wants to do indoor track maybe instead of skiing or instead of basketball. And it's really hard for me because I loved having different seasons. I was a basketball player and loved having my time to run and focus and then get away from it, focus on a different sport, come back to it, that kind of thing. And I think one of the reasons for Ruby is that she thinks she's better at running. So she wants to be really good at running when I don't think she realizes how much she gets from being a different type of athlete. And so it was really interesting for me to talk to Alicia and hear her say that learning how to be, you know, a stronger individual because she went through hard things in sport, like she had to learn how to fight through hard things. I love that. But I also love the fact that she said she is encouraging her kids to start things, try them out, but finish them, even if you really don't want to. Just stick with it.
Yeah, I love how she also talked about how her family is a team approach. And I think it's so important as parents to also have the conversation that if we are going to choose to invest in you in track, this is like the reality of what that means for our choice as a family as what we're going to invest in. So having those conversations and showing kids what it really means to be dedicated to something is important.
I agree. I mean, sticking with it through the ups and downs, but also when I had my youth camp, I would tell these kids to say thank you to whoever is buying their shoes, who's bringing them to practice. A lot of them can't drive to practice. Like it is a commitment. It's a family commitment. And they have to understand that and show some respect for the people that make it happen, you know, and your coaches and things like that. I mean, time and time again, all of these Olympic athletes have said how many life lessons they've learned from sport. And that's why, even though there's hard conversations around it all the time, like, do we want to put the time in? It's not fun to get beat. It's not fun to not play. You learn so much about yourself. So yeah,
yes,
it's really important for us to encourage our kids to be well-rounded and to do some of the things we maybe aren't good at.
Yes, that is such an important lesson. Okay, so now we're going to move on to Alicia Sacramone Quinn. And she talked to us about how she feels about sacrifice in her own gymnastics career. So let's take a listen.
I felt like the opportunities I was given and the things I got to do was cooler than the things I was missing out on or sacrificing. Like, not many people I knew were traveling to Europe or Australia and all these different places that I got to go to and experience and represent my country, which for me, that's the highlight of it all, when they were as young as I was. So for me, I'm like, okay, great. You're going to a house party. I'm gonna go practice because I have World Cup next week and I'm going to go to Belgium. So I think it's just like my mindset on things is a little different.
Okay. So I think this idea that Alicia talks about in this clip about you're choosing to sacrifice certain things. For her, it was driving an hour every day from college to practice. That is a huge sacrifice. You don't get to have certain same milestones as maybe other college students. So what do you think about sacrifice in sport, Carrie?
Yeah, I mean, I've been real clear, like sacrifice for me, that word really never resonates real well with me because I absolutely loved it. You know, I never went on a spring break in college. Like a lot of our Thanksgivings in high school were to run at the Kinney or Foot Locker cross country meet. Like, but for some reason, I think what my parents did was they didn't make it seem like it was a sacrifice. They kept it fun. They kept it light. And I do think that Alicia said that we're a different breed. You know, like she did what she had to do because she really wanted to. And I think she had the support behind her to make it happen. You know, we want to focus on being really good. And if it means driving an hour or not getting to spend time at just eating and, you know, hanging out, you have to make sure you're getting your workout in or whatever, and then you get to go eat and then hang out. Like there were times when I understood that that was sort of what it took to be good. And ironically, I had this conversation again with Ruby the other day because she decided not to run on Saturday, which is totally fine. But then she didn't run on Sunday and because it was a holiday. And I said, so I just am going to explain this to a 13-year-old, now 14. You have to understand there's a plan that a coach
writes out for you. And there's a reason why they want you to run a certain way after a race or on the weekend. And so we were talking about sacrifice. We're talking about commitment. And I think she understood it. She was like, oh, I didn't understand that they want me to run on Saturday, but take Sunday off so I can come back and work out hard on Monday. So again, just so many lessons. I just think for me, sacrifice has never really been, or maybe I just don't look at sacrifice as a negative.
Yeah. I mean, it's such a good lesson right there in you have this long-term goal. And what are the steps that you have to take along the way that are non-negotiables?
Yeah.
It is such a fantastic lesson to apply to the rest of your life that sometimes you just have to do things. You have to show up, whether right. that's academically or at work. And if you really want that end goal, and I think sports really can teach us that.
I totally agree. And I think the fun thing about it is when you really love something and it does make you tick, you will do whatever you have to do to make it happen. And I think that's where, as an athlete, it's been really nice to be able to see that I can fully commit to something and enjoy the process even through the hard times.
Yes. I love that you're teaching Ruby that. That's such a great thing to talk about when you're 13, 14.
Yeah.
It's a good foundation to lay.
It is. And even with the boys, I mean, you know, I don't want to push too hard any of my kids. I want them to figure it out on their own. But my boys are quite a bit younger. They're 8 and 10. And, you know, working out for them isn't really scheduled, right? It's not really on a plan. Ruby is getting to that stage where there is a plan. So as an athletic mom, I don't know if I'm doing it different than what my mom did because she wasn't in sports. But I do remember her saying, like, okay, maybe you should talk to dad about this. Like, are you supposed to go out for a run with dad on Saturday when, you know, the rest of the family isn't? Like, there was always that support. Like, are you sure you're not supposed to? Because if you're not, cool, like, let's go do whatever. But just always a reminder. And I think that youth sport families can do that. They don't have to push. Yeah. They can remind kids and encourage. But if the kid doesn't want to do it, then don't make them do it.
Yes, that is the worst when you have to feel like you're pulling teeth to get someone to follow the plan. So you really do have to also have that motivation behind it, I think.
Yeah. And we don't want to ruin it.
No. It's supposed to be fun.
It is supposed. And you know what? I was going to say that. I'm glad you brought it up. Every single athlete on this podcast said that they had fun.
Yeah.
So parents out there, if your kid isn't having fun, like, you know, injuries are not fun. And there's going to be hard moments where they're not getting in or they're just not having a good season. That's part of it. But we have to remember to keep it light at times and to just know your role. I think know your role as a parent. We are to love our kids first and foremost, and then hopefully they will be able to have some good constructive criticism along the way.
Okay, now we're going to head into talking to Reagan Smith, fantastic swimmer from Minnesota, and she's going to talk to us about listening to her own body. So let's listen to that clip.
I just try to listen to my body, and if I need rest or if I just need to kind of, you know, mentally get away from it, distract myself with friends or other hobbies or other things like that, or if I need to talk to a therapist or my family or just anything like that, you know, I just really try to sit back and like listen to myself and figure out what I need to get back on track. Mm-hmm. And normally I'm able to do that pretty quickly. I can pull myself out of a funk decently well. Even if I, you know, go through a crummy season where I don't perform the way I want to, I just lay back, take a little break, reset, and then I'm feeling refreshed and ready to go for the next season.
First of all, Reagan is wise beyond her years, isn't she? I want every young woman and girl to hear that clip about listening to your bodies, because I think often we get messages that we don't necessarily need to do that. So, Carrie, tell me about straddling that line between, I mean, we talked about this a little bit, like how much do you push and how much do you make sure you also build in rest and checking in with your own body?
I mean, I think athletes naturally push. You know, especially when they really want to see results, they push hard. And I think it's so good to hear a woman at that caliber say that she needs to reset. You know, it takes a disciplined athlete to take time away from sport. And it takes a disciplined family to allow that time away to make sure your young athletes do that. That's why I talk about being a multi-sport athlete. Like, I think it was good for me to miss running because if I wanted to be as good as I wanted to be, I needed to be fired up, hungry, excited to come back. So also another big thing that Regan Smith, a multiple time medalist at the world stage, she's talking about therapists, having a therapist, therapy. We never talked about that really in my time. This young woman is saying that that is okay. So if a woman like that seeks out therapy, like let's accept that and encourage it. And it doesn't have to be that they have to go and do one-on-one. It could just mean that they want to talk to their coaches about maybe doing more visualization, positive talk, all that stuff. But if your kid is coming up and saying, I want to talk to someone, or I'm sad, or this isn't fun, well, there's lots of resources. So many good nuggets in that last minute, but we had a whole like half an hour with her. So go listen to it.
I know. I love to hear that she basically is building tools in her toolbox, whether that's rest or talking to a friend or talking to her therapist. And if you, as a parent, can help your own kid build those tools to have when you're not around, right? Maybe when they're off in the middle of practice, they can really call on those in the times that they need them. I think Regan has given us a nice path forward.
But Mary, you have lots of kids in sport too. And, you know, I think it's interesting. Your husband is really involved in youth sport. Like, how do you guys manage that at home too? Because you're an athlete as well. Like, yeah, you didn't make an Olympic team, but you have been very successful in your own right. And athletics played a big part of that. So how do you do it all?
I think we model what we invest our time in, right? So both my husband and I are very into giving back to the community through coaching or sport, and also finding time to move our own bodies. That's like a non-negotiable, that we know that that's an important part of our own mental health and gives us energy to get the work done. And that we also have so many people in our lives that help us get kids to all different kinds of practices, whether that be like calling on a neighbor friend or all of our relatives in town. So also understanding that it does take a village to raise these kids, whether that be like amazing youth sport coaches or the grandma that drives them to dance lessons, right?
Yeah, I know. It does take a village. And I think the older I got as an athlete, the more I realized that, you know, and that's why, like I said, I tell kids to really thank their coaches and their parents and everyone, because even for me, I was in this, you know, individual sport for many years of my life, but it wasn't just me running that race. I had a lot of other people I was running for, and I had the help to get there.
Yeah. Yeah. I imagine like your whole city rooting for you when you go when you're practicing out on the streets and then you head to state and then you get to go on the national and world stage. That's really cool to think about the whole community rooting for you.
I just was on our coach's corner, which is on the radio still back home. And they called me last week, and I can't tell you how many people wrote to me or emailed me or whatever and just said, it was so fun to hear that you can do these big things coming from rural Minnesota or rural USA. And, you know, we didn't have an indoor track. My family did have a treadmill, but like we made it work. Right. And just I think that one of the reasons why we made it work is because I had people in my corner constantly like rooting me on, asking if I needed water when I was 6 miles out of town on runs. Like they'd drive by and then go up to the farmhouse and be like, you need some water? I brought some back. So, yeah, definitely takes a village.
I love that.
This episode is brought to you by our friends at Don Pablo Coffee. If you're interested in quality coffee, fresh to order, roasted in small batches in the timeless Latin American traditions of roasting, then Don Pablo Coffee is for you. Check them out at donpablocoffee.com and use the promo code Agora at checkout for additional savings off your first order.
Okay, now we're going to head into talking to Buzz Schneider, fantastic hockey player, also from Minnesota. And Buzz gives us a little tidbit on mental health and how we have really seen the progression of talking about that in sport. So let's listen to that clip.
Nobody talked about it like they do now. It's, you know, we used to joke around. Back then they called it a thick head, but it really wasn't. I mean, there's issues. And we lost one of our teammates, Mark Pavlich, to suicide. So, you know, there's help out there. And I think people should strongly get it if they need it. And,
yeah.
You know, nobody's immune. It's a disease like everything else, but you can certainly be treated and be helped. But I think that's something that should be looked at as well. And that's an important step, I think, to all athletes. And there's a lot of pressure, both men and women. So it's not an easy thing to overcome. And boy, if you need help, I suggest go get help.
Well, and that's what I think, too, on the flip side, that without sport, I think I would have been a little bit more blue than, you know, every time I could go to practice or could go for a run or whatever, I always came back a little bit more, I don't know if it was happy or if I just had a little more pep in my step, but I just love that sport gave that to me.
I like what you say at the end or after that clip, Carrie, talking about how sport and exercise can really support your mental health too, right? That maybe the pressures of sport sometimes can also stress you out, but that it can also be an outlet for mental health. And of course, that therapists play a role in that too. So how do you think sports can actually help mental health?
I mean, I need it even at this age. But yeah, I mean, it gave me such confidence. It tore me down at times, sport did. You know, I mean, there's nothing like getting lapped on national television. You know, I mean, it is hard, or being last. Like, people think that Olympic athletes never experience that, the heartache, the, you know, the loss, that kind of stuff. But we are just like every other kid out there, and we've experienced all of it. And I think that it is something that I've definitely had to deal with over the years. I liked how he said, you know, athletes are supposed to have thick heads, or, you know, we're thought of as having thick heads. There is so much pressure, not necessarily from the outside, but on the inside. And so I think that we have to pay attention to that. And I think we have to know how to deal with it. But yes, going out and moving my body was something that always made me feel better. Like, as much as I didn't want to do it, I always loved doing it. You know, like there were days where it was like, oh, not another 8-mile run. But once I got home, it was like, oh, I can do anything I put my mind to now. You know, I just felt so strong.
I think also, even if in an individual sport like track, that connection element of connecting to your teammates, you have, you know, automatic built-in friends that are there to help you in a time when our youth feel so isolated because they're sitting at home on their phones or playing video games, things like that, that sport can really improve people's mental health just by getting them back into community, which is something that we hugely benefited from, right?
For sure. I think that for me as an athlete, there were times where I was pretty isolated, and not even that I was alone, just isolated in my own thoughts. You know, it could be in math class and I was thinking about how fast I had to run, or even doing splits in math class, like talking about how fast I needed to get through the mile and then whatever. And some of those nerves or those things that would pop into your mind would turn that thought into negative about your sport. Like, oh, I'm so scared to race this. Or I know I'm not going to be as good of a point guard as the person on the next team. Or their press is way harder. And I, you know, you start to get negative because you're so nervous about stuff. And I think that you're spot on. Like, having your teammates, people that are like-minded, they know what you're going through, they understand the stressors that you deal with, like, it is so important. And I definitely look for people like that to work with now as a, you know, an adult woman that is career based and like excited about my career. I want people in my corner, like I want a quarterback. I want people that want to help me out, right? And I think that sport taught me that.
Absolutely. Okay, we're going to listen to a clip from Gwen Jorgensen now. She and her mom were fantastic. And Gwen talked a little bit about tying self-worth to something beyond sports, which I think is such a fascinating topic, especially for Olympians. So let's listen.
There's a lot of things that I think I write to myself in the book about this. But, you know, a lot of it is not put your self-worth in sport and try to look inside and figure out what your values are. So, for instance, like this year, some values that I'm focusing on are being bold and taking risks. Mm-hmm. And these are things that I know at the end of the day, I can be proud of myself for doing something that scares me. And so I think it's, you know, looking at big picture and not being focused on, I have to get this result, or, you know, I'm going to be sad, or it's going to be this, or it's going to be that, but focusing more on like, what are your values, mm-hmm. and how can you hone in on those values and accomplish that?
I love that she's talking about Patrick, her husband, too. Like, those two are a dynamic duo. Like, so much of their life is revolved around sport, but they have each other's back like nobody's business. And can we give a shout out to Gwen? She's crushing it right now.
Yes, I know. I love following her story and watching Patrick show up by what he's feeding her every day, right? To fuel her.
Yeah. And now being home with their boys when she's traveling quick, like it's fascinating to watch her get all the way over to Leuven, Belgium, to be honest. Yes. Like, that was her last race. So she's in Leuven and she gets her stuff done. She hurries home because, you know, I think she's still feeding one and she's got another young one. Like, you know, they are together a really good couple. And, you know, I think that she's spot on saying that she is not just a swimmer, a runner, a cyclist, an Olympic gold medalist. Like, she's Gwen, and she's a powerful woman. And for her to find a partner that kind of brings that out of her too, like reminds her of her values at times, reminds her that she's not just this athlete. Like, she is such a great person on and off the field or wherever she is in the water, wherever. Yeah, I think it's a really cool thing to find in life and to find for you, because we do. We totally identify as an athlete.
I think this really links to what we just talked about with the buzz clip and to your mental health. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, when you hang up your competitive track shoes or whatever, your swim goggles, it has got to be really hard to flip that switch. And sometimes people don't even know that it is going to be their last race, right? So how do you handle that beyond, you know, when your time is done competing? Like, is it something where you really have to think, you know, your worth is always going to be something that's already inside of you? It's not something that you accomplish on the outside. But like, how did you deal with that when you were done racing?
I'm still dealing with it, to be honest. You know, I mean, it is weird where, like, if I don't get a run in, I do feel different. And I don't even run that much anymore. But I feel different. It is very much my identity. And I think it always will be. But I do want to explain to the kids out there, to my own kids, that we are first and foremost wonderful people before we're wonderful athletes. And, you know, we want to be really good at whatever we do in life. And so we have to keep reminding of all the life lessons, again, that we learn in sport and take that. Because, you know, you are one injury away from a sport going away. You know, when I went to college, I brought my violin with me because I was scared. If I go all the way to Philly, I'm all the way away from home. If I get hurt, what am I going to do? I never played my violin when I was there. I did join the gospel choir, which was something else.
My gosh, what? I didn't know that.
Yes, I did. And I loved it because it was something different.
Yes.
I was a different person when I went in there. They knew I was a runner, but I was different and I had fun doing something else. So yeah, I think that Gwen is right on there where her sole identity isn't being an athlete, but much of her identity is.
Yes. That is so important to kids out there that are really gunning for like the NFL, right? That's what their dream is. And it's like, you're also a great artist and you contain multitudes, right?
You are talking about my little Greer right now because he wants to be in the NFL, but we have to remind him about all the other things that he does well.
Yes.
And I mean, I think that you and I have had these conversations and I do with other people, like, we cannot build this life up for people to think they're going to have professional athletes. And you cannot do that to your kids because there are very few of us that actually are professional athletes. And so, yes, while it's really fun to say that I was one, I don't want to put that on my kids because there's not that many of us.
And there's so many things out there,
there's
right?
So
and
many you can fun things.
You can do sports recreational for the rest of your life. And how fun is that? So yeah, there's a lot. I mean, people can get involved in sport at every level and that is wonderful.
Yep.
Okay. I think this is our last clip. Mm-hmm. Ellie St. Pierre, she's talking about training wherever and whenever, even on her farm. Let's listen to that clip.
Kind of feel like I just had like a hard work ethic, but like I know that I had like a lot of great coaches and stuff, you know, like people who really supported me. But I don't remember ever talking about like, oh, we don't have like as many resources as the other school. You know, I feel like we just like did with what we had. And I, you know, really believed in my coaches and that they knew what they were doing. And, you know, so I feel like we just got it done.
Okay. Ellie coming in hot here with the exactly what we need to hear in this moment. Us youth sport parents, we don't need to give our kids access to the $1 million equipment or coaches. What do you think about what Ellie told us, Carrie?
I love it. And I love that she has access to things like that, but she chooses to go and run on the farm. And there are times where she has to, you know, devote her time to go to altitude and things like that. But when she was young, when she was learning this, she didn't have to do that. She was out doing her chores in the morning, getting in some extra agility and strength training when she didn't even know she was doing that. And then she would work hard when she was playing basketball or running. So I think it's a really good reminder for us to, as parents, like now I think, oh, I should probably have Everett, who's 10, going to this batting, you know, coach, or maybe he needs this bat that everyone else has. Like, I don't think we should put so much pressure on ourselves to do that. I think there's been time and time again, some of the legends in the sport didn't have all the things and they still got it done. Again, I think it's about having fun. I think it's about teaching them to work hard, giving them the time and space to do it, you know, not over planning them so much that they can't do it. But there's nothing wrong with kids doing chores and lifting hay bales rather than having the best, you know, weights in the gym. Clearly, Ellie St. Pierre did it less than a year after having a baby. She's a world champion. I mean, just like, come on, everybody needs to listen to these professional athlete stories. I feel like too, maybe I'm overgeneralizing this, but if you really hear the stories of the professional athletes that we all look up to, how many of them actually had everything handed to them? I don't think many of them did. Many of them came from modest families. So maybe that's,
you're right.
That's maybe the story there is you don't need it all. You just need to support and get out there and get after it.
Yeah, I think plenty of companies would have us believe that we do need to provide our kids the absolute very best. But you're right. It is good for them to play pickup games with friends and try, sample all different kinds of sports. And yeah. They don't need the newest Cat 9 bats or whatever our boys are always asking us for.
Nope. And you know what's funny, though? My husband, Charlie, because I think he doesn't have maybe the confidence as I did in athletics, because he loved athletics. He was a very good athlete, but he didn't make an Olympic team. So I think he's more inclined to going and buying that bat. You know, yep. When I'm like, well, I use my sister's bats. I was a decent softball player and they were all banged up and it worked, you know?
Yep.
But I did get new pairs of shoes each season. Like, I'm in a kind of a sport that doesn't cost that much. So, you know, maybe I'm a little bit more on the cheap side, just takes a pair of shoes and things.
There has to be a happy medium. Yeah. Coming from a hockey family that, or a son who is 9 and on the precipice of really needing to invest in a ton of equipment or year-round hockey, it's like, can we all just agree that we don't need to go all in on this?
I know.
If all of us parents just decided, take it down a notch, and like maybe they can specialize like that when they're in late junior high and high school or something, right? It's like, let's let them explore some things without investing a whole paycheck into it.
Well, and that's what Buzz said too when we chatted. Like, he wasn't just a hockey player.
Yeah,
so different now. But yeah, I 100% agree. I'm not shaming people though that do decide to do it. Like, that is their thing, and we've seen a lot of professional athletes that are specialized, but I just think that there are a lot of athletes that don't, and they do just as well. So
yes,
to each their own.
Yes.
But I think what I've learned this last season is that just from all of these athletes, these in particular, they did just fine with how they grew up. And I think the main thing is that their parents were there. They said, each and every one of them, that their parents or the people that they really wanted there were there. They showed up. So just keep showing up. Showing your kids you love them is by far the best thing you can ever give them.
I loved when Reagan talked about how her parents had no idea anything about swimming, but they showed up and they learned a little bit. And that gave me hope because I don't necessarily know all the rules of all the games. But if you can show up and show a little bit of interest and support, I think that's all that matters.
Yep. It's been really fun hearing from everybody. I just love it. I can keep on going back and finding new nuggets. And I'm like, I love how Gwen Jorgensen's mom said, I didn't raise an Olympian to be an Olympian. And that has just been in my mind. Like, I kind of want to like put it all over my bedroom just to remind myself, like, you don't have to push your kids to be something. Like, just be there, support, help them out. And if they love it, then love it with them.
Yes. That is so great. Now, I would highly encourage everybody listening to this to go back and listen again, and you can get even more nuggets out of it. And I'm excited to see what comes with season 2 and beyond, Carrie. But it was fun to talk to you today. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Go back and listen again and follow us on all the socials. And we hope to hear from you soon.
Thanks so much for joining us today on Agora Sports Network, a community that connects and unites Olympians to positively impact amateur sports in the U.S. This podcast, hosted by me, Carrie Tollefson, a member of the 2004 Summer Olympic team, is an engaging series where past and present Olympians share their experiences, challenges, and lessons learned. Our goal, to inform and inspire youth, high school, and college athletes and their families. Until next time, get outside, get active, and share in our love of sport. Visit us online at agorasportsnetwork.com. Subscribe to our email list to be the first to know about Agora News and to get exclusive content. Let's journey together.